Want to greet each one in Jesus' name and welcome to the service this morning. Just want to just encourage you to continue to turn your heart to the Lord as we have been encouraged this morning, and I trust that that invitation that we have, if we haven't known it before, that can be even more clear to us this morning. It's not for anyone that has seen some sign or some unique thing out there, but it's, that invitation is for everyone, anyone, whosoever. There's verses that talk about that, numerous verses, numerous passages that talk about that. It's for all. And all have sinned, and all have that need to come to God. Anyway, just want to say amen to what has been shared already. This morning, I'd like to speak about our first love. The title of my message is Considering Our First Love. I'll just write that up here. That first love, of course, your mind probably goes to the verse in Revelation there where it talks about leaving our first love, those that have left their first love. And I was pondering about that. What is this first love? Just to bring it a little bit more in shoe leather or in down to some understanding that we could have a better grasp of what is that for us. questions that come to my mind, and I have some other questions as well, but questions just kind of to help stimulate your mind to think where I'm going with this message and so forth. Questions that might help you with that is the Word of God as precious to us as it was at the first? When we have first committed our life to the Lord, when we first heard the invitation, when we first responded to the Lord, when we first opened our heart to Him, is the Word of God as precious as it was? Just a question for us to think about. Do we love to be alone with God? Do we love to be alone with God? Or do I have to be alone with, do I have to go through that? Do I have to go pray? Do I have to? Or do we love to be alone with God? Is our relationship with Him like it used to be? Is our relationship with the Lord like it used to be? Do we have that first love? And we want to consider that this morning. Also, is our love for the Lord growing stronger? These are just questions just for us to think about. Is our love for the Lord growing stronger? I don't think when God first touched us and redeemed us and delivered us, maybe we didn't have the understanding that we do now. Maybe it was a little bit more simple in a sense. But the simplicity of that, we shouldn't lose that, just the preciousness of that first love. And it should grow. What I understand that growing to be would be a deepening of that love, a broadening, a better understanding of God and who, His love for us even. Another thought that comes to my mind is that we can still have the object of love, but lose the fervent degree of love, of the love we once had. You know, you follow that? We can have the object of love, but lose the fervent degree of the love that we once had. The preciousness of God and the preciousness of His Word, the preciousness of who He is and what He's done for us. we need to think about that as we consider our first love. There's a song that says, do you have the first love? Do you have the first love the Savior gave you when you knelt at the altar that day, when you cried, "Oh, dear Lord, please have mercy, save my soul, all my sins take away"? Have you drifted away from the Savior? Is the love you had now grown cold? Do you want to return and be faithful? Now is the time to be bold. Well, just think of the suffering that Jesus had to bear all alone on the cross. How they beat him and scorned him and mocked him. He gave his life for a world that was lost. Do you have the first love the Savior gave you? Is the fire still burning in your soul? Do you feel the same way as you did on that day? Does your zeal keep you pressing towards the goal? Is that first love there, or is it waning? Where is your love this morning? Where do you find yourself? I'd like to turn to scripture there in Revelation just as an introduction to the message. I know I preached on some of the churches in Revelation, but I'd specifically like to look at this subject of the first love there with the Church of Ephesus, chapter 2. It's in Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. If you would turn your Bibles to that. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the golden candlesticks, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and how thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come to thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." We'll stop there. But in verse 4 it says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee." So he listed a whole bunch of things here with the Church of Ephesus. Some things that stand out to me, and I know maybe I mentioned some of these things earlier. I think I did actually in some previous messages already. It's outstanding how this church had things in order. It seemed like a lot of things were in place. He said, "I know thy works, thy labor, thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil." Very, very, very positive things going on there. "And thou hast tried those that say they are apostles, but they aren't." In other words, they were false teachers, false prophets, false apostles there. "And has found them to be liars, and has borne, and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not fainted." In other words, they have faced a lot of hard things, and they labored, and they were faithful. If we would just skip over verse 4, just skip over that. Actually 4 and 5, and then go down to 6, and where he says that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. There was another group of people, if I understand right, they were, if I pronounce the word right, Gnostics, they were kind of wrapped into that, group of people as well, and which, they would have been. From the little bit of research that I did concerning them, were very deeply involved in idolatry and even not clear on one man, one woman relationships, why it was just a kind of a communal living, if I understand that right. And also they would eat things offered to idols, but strange pagan rites and things that they were that they were bringing in. But the Ephesians, they had nothing to do with this. The Ephesians were, they were clear on this. And so that's, to me, is it stands out to me that these things were all in order. But Jesus highlights one thing right in the middle of that whole thing. And he, and I think it's very important for us to think about this morning as well. Jesus had no issues with them keeping those things. Jesus had no issue. Actually, he was complimenting them on keeping those things in their place. He was saying, that's right, that's good, that's wholesome, that's important. I also agree with you. He was saying that. But you're missing one thing, and that's you've lost your first love. You've left it. And that left, actually, in Strong's has a very strong implication there. It's a forsaking. It's a kind of like a sending or putting away. You have put away that first love. You have deliberately, you've done things that has caused your first love to go. And anyways, a very, very sobering thing there. So we might ask, why does that matter? Why does that matter? Why does it matter? Here, the Ephesian church had everything in order, everything in place, excepting something you and I can't see hardly. We can hardly see, and that's what's going on in here. And we can be the same way. We shouldn't stop doing what's right. We shouldn't stop doing what's outwardly right and outwardly showing, appearing godly and so forth. But what is going on here? Where is our love this morning? What is going on deep down in? And that's what Jesus is pointing out. He's saying, you have left your first love. You have left what love that you had for me in the beginning. When you saw your sinfulness, you saw your wickedness, and your devotion to me, your commitment to me, your love for me has waned and waxed cooler. It's not cold, but it's losing its luster and its specialness. We that are married and also those that are courting can understand some of that, probably a little bit. Maybe not the ones so much that are courting, but we that are married can understand those things a little bit, at least. We just last week we experienced the blessing of being at a wedding, and I was sure that there is no question in love. There's no question in probably some of the highest anticipations of love and so forth. That go on in marriage, right there, right nigh the highest point. But what can happen after my wife and I, we're married now, it will be 25 years, Lord willing, this next April. And that love can grow cold. That love can lose the luster or... Maybe that's not the right word. The preciousness of a loving relationship, the clear beauty of experiencing love is just hard to explain. But just that freshness of that love for my wife doesn't just happen. Okay, it doesn't just happen, and this is just an introduction to this message on our first love. And I want you to connect that idea with our relationship with God. You know, when we first see our need for God, we are completely finding ourselves completely undone, completely sinful, completely helpless, hopeless, and we're crying out to God, and we're saying, Lord, have mercy on me. And then we realize, through the eyes of faith, through the eyes of faith, we realize that Jesus is all that I need. Jesus has taken those sins upon himself and he has forgiven. And I'm free. And I don't have to be bound by that sin anymore. I don't have to be kept by that anymore. And the preciousness of that becomes revealed in our mind, in our heart, in our, and so forth. And when that happens, it is beautiful. It is precious. Makes me think of a message that I heard by Harold Dean Miller back in about 2006. He was preaching and he shared the testimony of when he went to a Bible school, I think it was, some for service that he was preaching. He probably shared this with you all in other meetings, but he was preaching and this one young man invited him to prayer meeting. That he said, Harold, if you would come with us to prayer meeting, you're welcome to come. Some of us boys, young men are meeting over here for prayer just in light of these meetings, and you'd be welcome to join us. And Brother Harold, he thought, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. And of course, you know, he was feeling connected with God, and he was, you know, from his perspective and so forth. But he thought, yeah, maybe he would just go over there and listen to go over and join with these men that were kneeling for prayer, meeting for prayer. He went there early in the morning. I forget exactly what time, but when he went in, he heard the voices of all these people praying together there. And he kind of went off to the side a little bit and continued to pray, knelt down to pray there, with them along with them there. But this one young man, the thing that stands out to me, this one young man just kept on praying. I don't know if they were all praying together, but he was, like all in unison, but he could hear this one young man. He said, Lord, you haven't gotten much, but Lord, I thank you for saving my soul. Lord, you haven't gotten much, but I thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. He was repeating that just in worship and in adoration to the Lord. And it convicted Brother Harold, helped him to see that he was not counting his salvation very precious. You get that picture? You understand that? This young man was just basking in the love of God and realizing that God saved him. And he was so thankful. So thankful. That's that first love that I'm talking about. That's that first love. That young man was reaching out to God in that way, in a very simple way, in a very real way, very beautiful. Anyway, why is our first love so important? Why is it so important? That's the first point that I have here for us this morning. Why is our love, our first love, so important? I believe it is because God requires us to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We find that in the Gospels. Jesus repeats that from referencing the Old Testament. We ought to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. He requires that. He requires that love from us. God is not satisfied with partial love. If we think of last Sunday, that whole illustration of those two men, the one with Christ on the throne and the other one with self on the throne. And God is not satisfied with a partial commitment. It's all or nothing. Also, God's presence will leave us. God's presence will leave us and he will eventually spew us out of his presence if we continue to love him in a haphazard way. So why is our first love so important? Those are some of the reasons. We will, in the end, if we just haphazardly, and maybe another way of losing our first love is just kind of haphazard, being haphazard about our, if I lose my first love for my wife, I can take her for granted. I can just kind of haphazardly appreciate her, haphazardly. And how do you think that will make her feel towards me? And even how will that make me feel towards her if I haphazardly love her? God expects more of us than just a haphazard love. It's very, very important because first of all, it's required of God, and then also God can't tolerate that haphazard attitude. And if we'd go read in Revelation chapter 3, it talks about the church the church of Laodiceans. The Laodiceans there, he specifically says, "I will spew thee out of my mouth, because you're neither cold nor hot." And I know we look at the church at Ephesians, they had everything in order, and I'm not quite sure that I know the difference between having left our first love versus neither being cold nor hot. In other words, a lukewarm Christian. I'm not sure there's a whole lot of difference there, really. But perhaps the Laodiceans were a few steps down the road on how cold they had gotten. The church at Ephesus maybe was just losing that first love. The church at Laodicea had already said goodbye to that love, and God was ready to spew them out. So that's why it's important. Another question I think that's important for us to answer, and some of these things you will have to answer for yourself, but I'm going to give you some thoughts to help you to think a little bit. But how do we lose our first love? So we recognize that our first love is very important, but how could we possibly lose that first love? We maybe had that. I'm specifically talking to those that have experienced the new birth and have given their hearts to the Lord and know what it means to have that first love. But what could possibly be reasons? What could possibly be causes for us to lose our first love? I have numerous scriptures, but I don't think I will read them all because of time again here. I will give you some of the references. You can look them up. But turn to this first one here. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. So how could we possibly lose our first love? We must have that first love in our hearts. And what could be possibly a threat to that? To that losing that first love. In verse 38, Luke 10:38, it says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" So Martha was there. Jesus went to Mary and Martha's home there, and I think was receiving a warm welcome there. But Martha, in her busyness of serving, the point that I want to make is we can be too busy serving, even good things, even doing good things. We can just be too busy that it causes us to lose our first love. And Mary, she was doing what, I want to point out some things that will help us to keep our first love. But Mary was doing that. She was spending time at Jesus' feet. She was there letting Jesus' words wash over her. Jesus, the relationship, the time with him, the interaction with him, she was nurturing that. She was being careful over that. Martha was busy washing dishes from all the big supper that she had just gotten done making, or setting out the things on the plates to serve Jesus, which were good things, but she was so busy with those things. And Jesus didn't reprove her, I don't think, in a way of saying, Martha, you're doing bad things. Those things are bad things. The food part is bad. The other ways that you're serving here is bad. No, but he said there's a more important thing. There's a more important thing than all these things. Having everything, having your house all in order and everything just perfect. Also Luke 8:14. You don't have to turn to this. It talks about there are thorns, and he's referring to the parable that he had shared before, preached before about the thorns. When they have heard, they go forth and are choked with the cares and the riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. So the cares, I want to highlight that. That can be something that can cause us to lose our first love. Just simply the cares of this life, and that's simply maybe we feel responsible to pay the next payment, then make the next payment on the house payment, the next or maybe there's medical bills, maybe there's other responsibilities, other cares, or maybe there's just a lot of people that are calling us on the phone, or a lot of people that maybe want a little bit of help here or there, maybe even construction work, little help here, little there. All good things, all fine things, all wonderful things to be involved in. But let's be careful. Those things can drown out. They can drown out that first love. We have got to protect and we've got to nurture that first love. We have to. And I'll give you some points to do that later, hopefully. Chapter 21, verse 33 to 35 also, again, brings the cares of this life into the picture of how we should be careful. He says, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. So that day come upon you unawares. So we can be too busy with things, even good things, and we can lose our first love. We can lose our first love, lose the preciousness of that relationship that we once had with God. That must be nurtured. It must be watched over. Another thing that can cause us to lose our first love is we can be overcome by sin. In Matthew 24, 8-14, you don't have to turn to this one either. In verse 12 there, he says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And I believe that's true. If there's a whole bunch of people around us that are committing sin and living in sin and overlooking sin and just accepting a sinful lifestyle, that can wear on us. We need to be aware of that. That can wear on our resistance. That can wear on our resistance towards evil and so forth, and also can wear down our zeal and our love for the Lord, our love for the Lord. So we need to be aware of that. We need to be careful of that. But it also is true if we allow sin in our lives. If we allow sin in our life, and if we allow ourselves to be defeated, and if we allow ourselves to live in sin, your love, our love, is going to wax cold. We will not have the love for God if we tolerate sin. We won't. That's an obvious one. But it also will affect us if we see, or it has the chance to affect us, if there's a lot of people around us that have become discouraged, and throw in the towel, so to speak. It's good for us to be aware of those things, we can have a safety. We can have a sure place in Christ Jesus. And we don't have to let those things take us down. But it's good for us to be aware of those things. That says that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. Another thing that I think can tear down that love is riches. James chapter 5, 1 through 6 talks about that. 1 Timothy 6 through 10 talks about that. I'll read. Why don't you turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Both of those scriptures point us in, or give us the idea that riches can be a snare to us and are a snare for many. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 through 10 says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they which are rich shall fall," "fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows." I don't think we sometimes take that seriously enough in our day and age. In America, where we live, and maybe in our Anabaptist communities especially, we believe in being frugal. And frugal is basically, from what I understand, is basically just being careful how we spend, in very simple terms. Being careful how we spend money and conserving and so forth. Another thing that helps us with that is being honest in our dealings and being very of a good reputation to customers, to those that we interact. Those have a strong influence to us in a way that people trust us, and we can make a lot of money. Okay? We can make a lot of money. But here Timothy, or in Timothy, Paul is admonishing Timothy, "But they that are rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." And that can drown that first love. That can drown that first precious love. That wonder of what God has done. That amazingness of what God has done for us, because we become self-sufficient, we can handle things ourselves, no problem, because we've got plenty, we've got lots. It's good for us to be aware of that. Jesus has warnings about that as well. It's not just the Apostle Paul there. There's many other scriptures that we could turn to, but we don't have time. So, we looked at why is our love so important, and we also looked at how do we lose our first love. Now we'd like to look at how can we tell if we have lost our first love. Some of these things have been very sobering and convicting to me, and that's good. That's good. It's wonderful how God's word can touch and meet our need. So how can we tell if we have lost our first love? In 2 Peter chapter 1, some very sobering thoughts. So Jesus has given to us everything that pertains to life and godliness. In verse 3 there it says that according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. This is the wonderful the wonderful things that God has given to us, the wonderful reality, if we are born again this morning, if I can have your attention, I don't want to lose you all. I'm a little concerned that I'm having too many scriptures verses maybe that you, I don't want to bore you with facts. I want you to connect with what the message that God has, I believe, for us. I think we're in a very dangerous time for us here as a congregation. We're in a very dangerous time. We can lose our first love because of all the noise. Okay? That's some of my burden this morning. All the noise that we hear. We can lose our first love. Let's not be distracted in our love for the Lord. It's got to be there. It has to be there. There's a lot of other things can be right. A lot of other things can be in place. But unless we have our love for the Lord there, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss it. So please bear with me. So God has given us all these things here in 2 Peter. He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. He's given us the victory. He's given us freedom from sin, the bondage of sin, the old man is done away with, and he's given us a new life in Christ, and we can be partakers, it says, partakers of his divine nature, of Jesus' own nature can be implanted or impressed upon our heart, partakers of his divine nature, and having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, all those things, wonderful. But then he says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and that virtue basically is excellence or manliness. And then virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. And all these things would be a message in themselves if somebody would choose to do so. And to patience, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. So all these things are being added. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. They're there. Or they should be there. If they're not there, then he says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like to do a little bit of an illustration here this morning. That's supposed to be a pond. And if I could, I'm not sure that I'll take the time to, just because of, I'll write in a few here just so you can fill in the blanks here on your notes. But in the pond, we can put this faith, virtue, and numerous of these things. I'm going to put patience in here yet. And charity. There's a bunch of others. I don't have room to write all those in there. There's more there. But so we have those things. In 2 Peter there, we have those things. They apparently sometime were added. And I believe some of those things get added at new birth, at the time of our new birth. But that's a pond. And a pond will naturally, if it doesn't have an outflow, it will at minimum you don't normally see it with your eyes, evaporation. It still goes out. But with time, if it's just there as a pond, it becomes stagnant, stale. I wouldn't recommend most people to drink water out of a pond. It's not very safe normally, unless you do have a filter or something. But for the illustration this morning, that can be one way of this going out. It can also be a stream that's flowing out, maybe. Excuse the artwork, it's not glamorous, but it could also be maybe something trickling out, maybe not flowing out, but it's a little bit, after a while, of course, if there's nothing coming in, it won't keep on going out either. But it's going to be stale. That's going to be stale water. If we connect to the stream that comes from God, we have to have that, this relationship with God, we have to have that there to add these things to our life. And in as a natural, if those things are flowing in as a natural, these things will flow out too. They will be there. But that keeps that fresh. That keeps that pond, even though it may be kind of a dam, kind of there, it'll keep it fresh. You can also have a spring that's just bringing that pond, bringing life into that pond and so forth. But we have to have also another source that we have to keep our love for the Lord there. So that was maybe a little bit of a side piece. I do want to maybe use that illustration some more here. But that's first in 2 Peter there, chapter 1, I believe, gives us a picture that helps us maybe answer that question. How can we tell if we have left our first love, if we have lost that? How can we tell? And if we are lacking these things, something is wrong. Something is wrong. And he says, he goes to some pretty strong, makes some strong statements saying that if you're lacking these things, he says, you are blind and you can't see afar off. Another version says you're nearsighted and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And if you go back to Revelation where we had started out with, in that Jesus says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent. Here in 2 Peter he says, you have forgotten what you were purged from. You have forgotten what happened when Jesus touched you, when you opened your heart to Jesus. You have forgotten that. You're blind and you've forgotten that he has purged you. Just simple things. You have forgotten. If we're lacking this, it's because we've forgotten what God has done for us. It's because we've forgotten that. Anyway, and then he tells us to be diligent and make our calling election sure there in 2 Peter. So, look at those words. Look at those words. Do you have faith this morning? Do you have virtue? Some of those we can say, sure, no problem. Knowledge, sure, no problem. Temperance, think so, you know. Patience, most of the time, you know. Godliness, I think so. Brotherly kindness, how's that going, you know. Charity, how are those things? It's important for us to ask these questions for ourselves. I don't have to do that and say, Brother Dale, do you have brotherly kindness towards me because of your response? I don't have to do that. We can do that examination in our own heart, and we can allow God to check us. He says, if you lack those things, there's something wrong. If you lack those things, there's something wrong. And really, you need to go back and remember. You need to go back and remember if something's wrong. Anyway, the next point I have is, how can we keep our first love? And that's my last point, but I have four sub-points underneath that. But I won't make it long. I will try to share those things with you. And I'm just sharing these things. I want to stir our minds to think about what God has done. Again, for us, I want to stir our love. We need to, our first love is a little bit like a fire. We hardly have fires anymore that warm our house anymore. We have gas and we have electric and we have all these other conveniences. But it used to be, when I grew up, we used to have a wood stove. And every morning, after a night's sleep, in the evening we'd have to fill the thing with a big log or several big pieces so it would last the night. Keep some coals there till morning light. But in the morning, one of the first things we did, because the house got chilly, house got a little cool, the first thing we did, we went out to the wash house to get some more wood, bring some more wood in and stoked it a little bit and threw in some more firewood there. Our love for the Lord is a little bit that way. You can have that love yesterday. You can have had that love last Sunday when Brother Isaac was preaching. Your heart can have been filled with that love when you have been alone with God, perhaps last week sometime. But that love, I find, needs to be stirred and needs to be stirred and needs to be fed, needs to be fed continually. We have to feed that love. We can't expect to just simply give our hearts to the Lord and then relax and think everything is fine. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. There's a scripture that comes to my mind. It says, as ye have received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him. We have got to keep feeding that. We have got to keep walking in that, just like we experienced that in that first time when we came to the Lord. How can we keep our first love? How can we keep our first love? We need to stir up our first love. We need to stoke it. And there's simple things that I have done, and I know my wife does that as well. There's numerous little things, little touches, little things that we do to keep our relationship vibrant, to keep our relationship close. When we sense that waning, we don't just simply relax and think it'll fix itself. No, we have to put forth effort and stoke it and put something into it. You understand? If your love for the Lord is cold this morning, you need to put something into it. You need to press into. Jesus says that the righteous, how is that? They take the kingdom of God by force. Something like that. In other words, they do it with, it takes energy and purpose and diligence and zeal. It takes that. We need to do that this morning. If our love is not where it ought to be, we need to do that. And then we need to keep that first love there. So the first point, the sub point underneath how we can keep our first love is seek after God. Seek after God. Our heart must be turned toward the Lord. In Psalm 27:8, it says that when thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Also in Matthew 7, Jesus says that if we seek, we will find. So the first point I'd like to leave, or sub-point underneath that, is how can we keep our first love is seek God. Just simply, seek God. Seek God. Very, very simple. Seek the Lord. another sub-point under that, fellowship with other believers. And I think this is also very important. We have to have fellowship with other believers. And even if perhaps maybe you don't find fellowship so close as you wish, it's not good for us to put a shell around us and put shields up and to protect ourselves and go into a little hole. We have to have fellowship. We have to have fellowship with each other. We need to have that. Hebrews 10, verse 23 to 25 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that has promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That takes somebody else to do it, not me. You understand? It takes you to do it to me and me to do it to you. To provoke one another to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And that exhortation is also from somebody else coming to me and from me to somebody else. That's what exhortation is. And so much more, the more as you see the day approaching. And brothers, I think this is just as important for us here at Grace Christian Fellowship now as it ever was. That we exhort each other, that we encourage each other, that we provoke each other to love and good works. We need that. We need that. And that's one way that we can keep ourselves in the love of God. That's one way that we can keep that love fresh, vibrant, close, deeper. Understand? We have to. Somehow we have to go beyond our circumstances and stir up our love for the Lord. It's not easy always. It isn't. I understand. And I'm sure you understand. Another thing, we can pray. There's many verses I could have turned to, but Luke chapter 21 verse 34 to 36, it says, watch therefore and pray always. And it's talking about, all the snares, the surfeiting, drunkenness, and cares of life. In that same context, he's saying, watch therefore. You are aware that you're in a dangerous place. And brothers and sisters, we are in a dangerous place. Watch therefore and pray always. That's another way that we can keep that love vibrant. Keep ourselves in the love of God. And keep that first love there. Another point. Be careful not to overschedule. And back to some of the earlier points that I had made about being too busy, this goes right along with that. We can overschedule, and we can have, and that's also there in Luke 21, verse 34 to 36, it talks about the cares of this life. And I think we can, I don't know what your tendency is, when you become discouraged, when things start shaking around you. We aren't so different, I don't think, than the disciples were. The Apostle Peter, he was faced with that when Jesus died on the cross there. Peter was confused. Peter was struggling. Peter was discouraged, I believe. And he said, well, you know what, disciples? I'm going fishing. I at least know how to do that. I don't know too much else, but I know how to fish. I'm going to go fishing. And he went off to go fishing. I'm not saying he did the wrong thing. Jesus met him out there, and hopefully, I trust Jesus can meet us out there at the job too, but we can bury ourselves in our circumstance, or just try to crowd out our problems, maybe out of our mind, by burying ourselves in work, burying ourselves maybe even just in big crowds. I don't know what you find yourself burying yourself in, but that can be a danger for us, that we can cause or busy our minds too much, that we don't focus on our love for the Lord. You understand? We want to be careful not to overschedule ourselves. I had numerous little thoughts that I had here. It's interesting how much you do a little bit of checking. I encourage you read through Acts and notice all the different places. Or it's actually not just a whole lot of chapters, but numerous instances and things that happened in Paul's life and things that happened in and around Ephesus. It's quite interesting seeing that and the prominence of the church at Ephesus and how amazing things were going on there. But they lost their first love. So let's consider our first love this morning. Let's consider, where is it? I needed this morning myself. It was convicting. As I was studying, I needed to stir my love. Anyway, let's do that. Let's stir our love for the Lord. God bless you.